Zoria Vechernaya is doing shopping. She will be soon back.
We met her downstairs. She says she tells fortunes.
Yes. In the twilight, that is the time for lies. I do not tell good lies, so I am a poor fortune teller. And our sister, Zoria Polunachnaya, she can tell no lies at all.
The coffee was even sweeter and stronger than Shadow had expected. Shadow excused himself to use the bathroom. A cramped, closet-like room near the front door hung with several brown-spotted framed photographs. It was early afternoon, but already the daylight was beginning to fade. He heard voices raised from down the hall. He washed his hands in icy cold water with a sickly-smelling sliver of pink soap. Chernobog was standing in the hall as Shadow came out.
You bring trouble. Nothing but trouble. I will not listen. You will get out of my house.
Wednesday was still sitting on the sofa, sipping his coffee, stroking the gray cat. Zoria Uchunyaya stood on the thin carpet, one hand nervously twining in and out of her long yellow hair.
Is there a problem?
He is the problem. He is. You tell him that there is nothing will make me help him. I want him to go. I want him out of here, both of you. Go!
Please, please, be quiet. You wake up Zoria Polunachnaya.
You are like him. You want me to join his madness.
He looked as if he was on the verge of tears. A pillar of ash tumbled from his cigarette onto the threadbare hall carpet. Wednesday stood up, walked over to Chernobog. He rested his hand on Chernobog's shoulder.
Listen. Firstly, it's not madness. It's the only way. Secondly, everyone will be there. You would not want to be left out, would you?
You know who I am. You know what these hands have done. You want my brother, not me. And he's gone.
A door in the hallway opened, and a sleepy female voice said,
Is something wrong?
Nothing is wrong, my sister. Go back to sleep.
Then she turned to Chernobog.
See? See what you do with all your shouting? You go back in there and sit down. Sit!
Chernobog looked as if he were about to protest, and then the fight went out of him. He looked frail, suddenly. Frail and lonely. The three men went back into the shabby sitting room. There was a brown nicotine ring around that room that ended about a foot from the ceiling, like the tide line in an old bathtub.
It doesn't have to be for you. If it is for your brother, it's for you as well. That's one place you dualistic types have it over the rest of us, huh?
Chernobog said nothing.
Talking of Bielobog, have you heard anything from him?
Chernobog shook his head. Then he spoke, staring down at the threadbare carpet.
None of us have heard of him. I am almost forgotten. But still, they remember me a little, here and in the old country.
He looked up at Shadow.
Do you have a brother?
No. Not that I know of.
I have a brother. They say, you put us together, we are like one person, you know? When we are young, his hair, it is very blonde, very light. And people say, he is the good one. And my hair is very dark, darker than yours even. And people say, I am the rogue, you know? I am the bad one. And now time passes, and my hair is gray. His hair, too, I think, is gray. And you look at us, you would not know who was light, who was dark.
Were you close?
Close? No, we were not close. How could we be? We cared about such different things.
There was a clatter from the end of the hall, and Zoria Vechernaya came in.
Supper in 1 hour.
Then she went out. Chernobog sighed.
She thinks she is a good cook,
he said.
She was brought up, there were servants to cook. Now there are no servants. There is nothing.
Not nothing. Never nothing.
You,
said Chernobog.
I shall not listen to you.
He turned to Shadow.
Do you play checkers?
Yes.
Good. You shall play checkers with me,
he said, taking a wooden box of pieces from the mantelpiece and shaking them out onto the table.
I shall play blick.
Wednesday touched Shadow's arm.
You don't have to do this, you know.
Not a problem. I want to.
Wednesday shrugged and picked up an old copy of the Reader's Digest from a small pile of yellowing magazines on the windowsill. Chernabog's brown fingers finished arranging the pieces on the squares, and the game began. In the days that were to come, Shadow often found himself remembering that game. Some nights he dreamed of it. His flat, round pieces were the color of old, dirty wood, nominally white. Chernabog's were a dull, faded black. Shadow was the first to move. In his dreams, there was no conversation as they played, just the loud click as the pieces were put down, or the hiss of wood against wood as they were slid from square to adjoining square. For the first half-dozen moves, each of the men slipped pieces out onto the board, into the center, leaving the back rows untouched. There were pauses between the moves, long chess-like pauses, while each man watched and thought. Shadow had played checkers in prison. It passed the time. He had played chess, too, but he was not temperamentally suited to chess. He did not like planning ahead. He preferred picking the perfect move for the moment. You could win in checkers like that sometimes. There was a click as Chernabog picked up a black piece and jumped it over one of Shadow's white pieces, placing it on the square on the other side. The old man picked up Shadow's white piece and put it on the table at the side of the board.
First blood, you have lost. The game is done.
No, said Shadow. Game's got a long way to go yet.
Then would you care for a wager? A little side bet to make it more interesting?
No,
said Wednesday without looking up from a humor in uniform column.
He wouldn't.
I am not playing with you, old man. I play with him. So you want to bet on the game, Mr. Shadow?
What were you two arguing about before?
Chernabog raised a craggy eyebrow.
Your master wants me to come with him, to help him with his nonsense. I would rather die.
You want to make a bet? Okay. If I win, you come with us.
The old man pursed his lips.
Perhaps. But only if you take my forfeit when you lose.
And that is?
There was no change in Chernabog's expression.
If I win, I get to knock your brains out with a sledgehammer. First, you go down on your knees. Then I hit you a blow with it, so you don't get up again.
Shadow looked at the man's old face, trying to read him. He was not joking, Shadow was certain of that. There was a hunger there for something, for pain or death or retribution. Wednesday closed the Reader's Digest.
This is getting ridiculous,
he said.
I was wrong to come here. Shadow, we're leaving.
The gray cat, disturbed, got to its feet and leapt onto the table beside the checkers game. It stared at the pieces, then leapt down onto the floor, and, tail held high, it stalked from the room.
No.
Shadow was not scared of dying. After all, it was not as if he had anything left to live for.
It's fine. I accept. If you win the game, you get the chance to knock my brains out with one blow of your sledgehammer.
And he moved his next white piece to the adjoining square on the edge of the board. Nothing more was said, but Wednesday did not pick up his Reader's Digest again. He watched the game with his glass eye and his true eye, with an expression that betrayed nothing. Chernabog took another of Shadow's pieces. Shadow took two of Chernabog's. From the corridor came the smell of unfamiliar foods cooking. While not all of the smells were appetizing, Shadow realized suddenly how hungry he was. The two men moved their pieces black and white, turn and turn about. A flurry of pieces taken, a blossoming of two-piece high kings, no longer forced to move only forward on the board, a sideways slip at a time, the kings could move forward or back, which made them doubly dangerous. They had reached the furthest row and could go where they wanted. Chernabog had three kings, Shadow had two. Chernabog moved one of his kings around the board, eliminating Shadow's remaining pieces, while using the other two kings to keep Shadow's pieces pinned down. And then Chernabog made a fourth king and returned down the board to Shadow's two kings and, unsmiling, took them both. And that was that.